A baby is born and they begin taking those small steps. They roll over. They're able to pull themselves up. They try to take that first step and they fall down, but they get back up and they take a few steps and they fall down, but eventually they figure out how to walk and they figure out how they can run and they begin moving out. And it's a slow process, but they figure it out and they're able to move ahead and do what they're supposed to do, is to get up and walk and move. And you know, they start walking and they continue walking the rest of their life. My dad said that we teach our kids to walk and to talk, and then we tell them to sit down and shut up. So, you know, I guess maybe that's true as well. But the same thing is true in the spiritual life, that we have to learn to take steps. And sometimes we fall down, and sometimes we don't move as quickly as we'd like. And there's times in my life I'm like, man, I wish I was a lot further ahead in my Christian walk. But the reality is, here we are, and wherever you are, that's where you have to start. And how do you take that next step to wherever you are in your life right now, whether it's a difficult circumstance or maybe there's some temptations and trials that you're struggling with? We start right where we are, and we walk ahead toward Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. And today we're going to look at the life of Jesus. Last week we talked about how Jesus began his ministry in Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at a very similar passage in Luke chapter 5 today, and we're going to see how he worked with his disciples and planned that discipleship process. And so I just want to read the story, first of all, in Luke 5 verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. I always thought that's interesting. I just, my weird mind, like, how does a ship stand? I've never really thought about that before, but I'm just picturing these legs or whatever. But anyway, that's my ADD that acts up, I guess, a little bit. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I remember right about 26 years ago, our church is 27 years old, but a missionary friend of mine, he's passed away now, his name was Otis Goodwin. And Otis said, Tim, you always have to have a next step for the congregation. When you meet someone that's not going to church, what's the next step? You meet somebody that's a Christian, what's the next step? You meet somebody that you know, is just looking for a church, what is the next step? There's somebody that has joined the church, what's the next step? There's somebody that attends church regularly, what's the next step? And he said, you always have to have a next step so people can follow after Jesus. How do we help people to be those disciples, to be those followers of Jesus? You know, the idea of leadership is leaders know where they're going and they know how to take people there. The theme of our church is impacting lives for God's glory. And so we want to impact lives. We want to make a difference. We want to make an impact on the community and see lives change and families change and our community change and us be the salt and the light of the earth that God calls us to. This year, our theme is to leave a legacy, and we have a question, what am I leaving behind? As we look at our life right now, what am I leaving behind in my spiritual walk? Am I leaving behind a mess, or am I leaving behind order and organization and peace, love, joy, forgiveness, grace, those kind of qualities? So when Otis told me that, I went home and sat down probably a good part of the day, and I just laid out my philosophy of ministry. And I looked at really the key command that God has for us. We call it the Great Commission, where Jesus was talking to his disciples at the end of his ministry, and all that he told them was, I want you to get people saved, I want you to see them baptized, and I want you to teach them the Word of God. And then as they grow, they're to share the gospel with other people. As they get saved, they're to get baptized, and then they become disciples. You teach them the Word of God that they would live it out in their daily life, and that just progresses until Jesus comes back for us. That's the purpose of the church. That's why we're here. We are to make an impact on the lives of people around us. And so I just wrote out a little chart, and we have people over here that are either unsaved or unchurched people, and here are growing, mature members of the church over here. And I thought, how do we follow that process? And I thought, okay, first is to get people saved, that we're to share the gospel with people, that we are to tell people about what God has done in our life. And if we're not certain of our salvation, we need to make that certain. And if we are certain of our salvation, God calls us to share that message with others. I had the opportunity this week to talk to two different family members and talk to them about salvation. And they had serious questions about who God is and how God works and why God allows certain situations and what the Bible's about and helping people to understand what sin is and what salvation is and what the cross of Jesus Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection. That is what salvation is about. Not church membership, not attending church, not trying to live a good life or obeying the Ten Commandments, but trusting in Jesus Christ and what he did for us through the death, burial, and resurrection. So we're to get people saved. We're to share that message. Hayden, God bless you, man. Great to hear that you had the opportunity to share the gospel. But studies say the majority of Christians never share their faith, and that's what God calls us to do. But when somebody does trust Christ as their Savior, what is the next step? They follow in baptism. Baptism doesn't wash our sins away. It's not something that causes us to enter into heaven. It's just that outward demonstration of what we did in our heart when we trusted Jesus. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's an outward demonstration of what God has done in our heart. And then when people get baptized, they join the church. They become a part of the church. And then when we're a part of a church, we should be attending church. That's a pretty good idea as well, right? To get connected and attend here. And so we have come on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. We say, God, you're the priority, not my sleep, not my laundry, not my chores or whatever, but I want to put you first. And so we come to church on Sunday morning. And then if we're going to get connected, getting a part of our small group, the way we do it here is our Wednesday night small groups, trying to get connected with people. And we have, during the school year, Awana for the children. We have great discipleship for our teenagers. We have the classes for our nursery and preschool as well. And then we have a great mix of adult classes. So we have family discipleship night, and we say we don't want to drop kids off. We want to bring our kids to church, not send them to church. And so we get a part of a small group, and we begin growing in our faith, and we don't just come to church to get anymore, but as we're growing, we mature, and we get involved, and we find a ministry, and we figure out, what is it that God's calling me to do? And maybe we step into leadership and begin developing other people and discipling them and helping them to grow so they can minister to a team of people, so those teams can minister to the congregation and the community around us. And so I just laid out my philosophy that day, and so for 27 years, I've just tried to do that. Share the gospel with people, see them get baptized, see them join the church, see them attend the church, help them to get connected in a small group, build relationships, to be the choice family, and to not just come to church, but to be the church, and then to help people to get involved in ministry. And that's all we do around here, because that's what the Great Commission is. And that's what Jesus begins to do with his disciples here. He just cared for these people where they were. And so he comes on the scene at this lake where these fishermen are, and he begins ministering to them. Someone said, God loves us just as we are, but God loves us too much to let us stay where we are. And God wants us to change. God wants us to be different. That's what discipleship is all about. Becoming more like Jesus, following in his path, doing what he's called us to do. So here in Luke chapter 5, we see Jesus starting with his disciples. Last week I'd said that in Matthew chapter 4, Max Lucado had said that it begins in the womb, Jesus' birth, and then it goes to the water, his baptism, and then goes to the wilderness, his temptation. And then after his temptation, he begins his ministry. And we see him calling his disciples and developing. Well, in Luke, he just portrays it a little bit differently. We see the birth, but we see a little bit more. We see his childhood in the early chapters. He's 12 years old, and we see some work that goes on there. Then we see his baptism. We see his temptation. But Luke adds some details that Matthew didn't, and he begins healing people in Luke chapter 4. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He's ministering to a crowd of people. He goes to a town, and as he's ministering to the people through that day, he goes outside the town. The people follow him. He ministers to them, and then he goes to bed late at night. He's exhausted, and then Mark says that he got up early the next morning, and he went out to pray. The people that were healed went back to their village, and they were walking when they once were lame. They were talking when at one point they couldn't talk. They were had been sick, but now they're healthy. And they say, "What happened to you?" And they say, "I don't know, but there's a guy out there that healed me." And they go looking for this guy, and they go to that city or to the village where he was that evening, and Jesus is out praying. And so the disciples don't know what to do with all these people that have needs. And so they go looking for Jesus, and they knew he was going to be out there praying to God and talking to God and getting wisdom for the day. They said, "Jesus, these people all came from this last city. What are we going to do?" And it picks up in Luke chapter 4, verse 33. "And when it was day, he departed, and he went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him," or said, "Hey, I need you to wait, that he should not depart from them. And he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." Jesus says something very interesting. "I'm not going to come back to your town and meet your physical need." That's very interesting to me. Jesus says no to this legitimate need here. "I'm not going to go back and meet that need." And the reality is we can't meet every need in the world, right? But he had a focus. He said, "I am going to the next town, and I am going to preach the gospel." And he goes and he begins preaching that. Well, verse 44 says, "And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." And then chapter 5, verse 1. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." So Jesus is going from town to town. He's sharing the gospel. He wants the multitudes to be saved. But right at the very beginning of his ministry, he knows the importance of developing his disciples. And so he goes, and the first ones he calls, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, these guys were all fishermen. He comes to these busy guys, and he's going to call them to be disciples. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does Jesus do to help these guys to become the disciples they need to be? We'll look at verse 2. "And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out from them and were washing their nets." So this morning, Jesus goes by this lake, and these guys had been fishing all night. They're washing their nets, so they're done fishing for the day. They had done their work. They're ready to go home and to get some rest. As we continue in this story, we see that they didn't have a good day of fishing. I mean, they weren't like Jason Lindauer posting big pictures of fish on Facebook and stuff. I mean, they had nothing. They had caught nothing. And so they're washing their nets. You can imagine they're tired. They're frustrated. They hired people to fish for them and with them. So they were going to have to pay people. So they're over here cleaning their nets out. Have you ever had a bad day at work? I mean, if you have a bad day at work, you want to be alone. You don't necessarily want to count your blessings and deal with those kind of things. But that's what's going on in this scene. I mean, these guys are just exhausted from the day, and they just want to go and say, hey, we're going to cut our losses. Let's just go home. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, hey, Peter, can I borrow your boat? Can you just push me out a little ways? And my guess, maybe Peter was even in the boat here with him and said, just take me out a little ways because there's so many people, and I want them to hear this message. Don't you hate interruptions? Now, are you like me? You have a to-do list, and you have certain things you want to do, and it's great. You mark those things off. But life just doesn't work the way you'd like it to, those expectations that you have. You know, you're planning your day out. You're planning your week out. You have certain things. The boss calls you in. You have an extra meeting. Something doesn't go right. Supplies aren't here, or whatever the case would be, and things just don't go the way that you would like. That's what's going on in Peter's life. And Jesus says, hey, can I bother you for a minute? Can I just borrow your boat? And can you imagine what he probably was thinking? I just want to go home. I just want to go to bed, you know. I just need a break. But he says, sure, I'll take you out there. And he pushes him out a little ways. And Jesus teaches all of the multitudes that's there. Maybe you came in today a little bit frustrated, and through the music and through the message, you're just like, you know what, life isn't so bad after all. Maybe that's what's going on with Peter here. He's sitting there, and he's just like, you know what? Yeah, we had a bad day of fishing, but you know, life goes on. We still have things that go on. And he was like, you know what? In a few minutes, he's going to be done, and then I can pull the boat up. We can take our supplies, and I can go home. Well, Jesus surprises him again. After he's done fishing, I can see Peter pulling the boat up. Jesus gets out of the boat, and then Jesus says, hey, I got one more request for you. I want you to get back in the boat and launch out into the deep. Go out in the deeper water. Now, that wasn't how you would fish. You would fish on the shallow water during the time of the evenings and early morning, not at this time of day. They had already fished. They knew there were no fish at this lake. It was just going to be a very frustrating time for them. But Jesus says, hey, I want you to go out, and I want you to catch these fish. I want you to throw in your net. Look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed that he would thrust him out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or for a catch of fish. First he just borrows his boat. Now he says, hey, I'm going to teach you how to fish. Now, Peter would have known that Jesus was a carpenter, not a fisherman. Peter had already tried fishing through the night, and he had caught nothing. He is frustrated. He's exhausted. And Jesus says, hey, why don't you go back out there? He had just cleaned his nets. Now, if he throws those nets back in, he's going to have to clean those nets again. I mean, this is not a very fun situation. And so Peter is not very happy with this. He says this in verse 5, Peter answered and said, Master, which is good. You're the master. You're Lord. You are in control. That's good. But he said, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We've tried that before, right? We don't want to do that. But then he says, but, or nevertheless, at your will. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter wasn't real excited about the idea, but he did it anyway. You see, obedience isn't always just being excited about something. Yeah, we don't want to complain about it, but sometimes you don't understand God, you do it anyway. Sometimes it seems like you would know better than God, but we just say, God, I'm going to trust you. You want me to go on the teen mission trip? I don't really feel like it. I have some things that I want to do, but nevertheless, at your word, God, I will do that. God speaks to you and says, I want you to share your faith with somebody. And you think, that person, they don't want to hear the gospel. There's somebody for several years that I'd wanted to share the gospel with. I'd prayed for them, but because of a family situation, I just hadn't shared the gospel with them. And so the other day, we had gotten together, and they had an event in their life. And so I just asked a simple spiritual question. How did this impact you spiritually? And I wasn't sure, you know, they knew I was a pastor and, you know, how they would relate to it. And here's what they said. I've been wanting to have this conversation with you. I'm like, man, I've been hemming and hawing around, you know. And they wanted to have that conversation. They wanted to talk about spiritual things, but I was like, do they really? You know, when God calls you to launch out, you launch out. You do what he's called you to do. You step out and do what he wants you to do. Even in his limiting faith, when he questioned Jesus and maybe even a little bit argued with Jesus, he delayed a little bit, but he followed what Jesus said. Nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. And look at verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. And their net brake, and they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both of the ships, so many fish, so that they began to sink. What an incredible miracle. God is at work here. God is doing something that they could not do in their own. They were the fishermen, but they listened to the carpenter. They decided to obey their master. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. I mean, he humbled himself. Man, I should have just done what God called me to do without complaining, without arguing, without waiting. Just do what he's called me to do. And he falls down and he says this, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." I think it's very interesting when an angel or a miracle from our Lord takes place. People don't stand and talk about their greatness. They talk about God's greatness. And Peter said, "Depart. Man, God, I don't deserve you. You are so incredible. I am sinful." And he humbled himself. He recognized his limitation, and he focused on the goodness of God here. Verse 9 says this, "For he was astonished." But not just him, and all they that were with him. These people had been fishing all night. They were frustrated. They had caught nothing. Now they have this big catch of fish. And they look at Jesus the carpenter, and they're just amazed. One thing I believe the world and Satan has a good grip on us at times is if we can't get off of the social media, we can't get away from our phones, we can't get away from television or our laptop or tablet or whatever the case would be, we get so busy with the video games and all those things that we fail to see the amazing things of God. They were astonished. God's blessings, and they began counting those blessings. They began thanking God for all of the things that he had provided for them. That's what we did just right when we started the service. Just stop and thank God for a few minutes. This morning, as I got up and kind of re-looking at my message and just figuring out where I was going with stuff, but I just stopped for a few minutes and just looked out at God's creation for a few minutes. Just thought, that's amazing. What an amazing world that is around us. I have a granddaughter. It's about 18 months, 20 months old. And my wife loves to amaze her. She has a special drawer for our granddaughter. And so she puts surprises in that drawer. Sometimes my granddaughter even sees her putting the surprise in the drawer, and she closes and she says, "Hey, you're going to look in your special drawer." And so she'll have some little candies or something for her in this drawer, and she opens the drawer up. And every time it's, "Oh!" And she looks down, "Wow." This morning, it even happened. She opened the drawer and went, "Oh!" And she said, "Where is it?" Because there was nothing in there. I mean, she was amazed when there was nothing, you know, and I thought, I just think if we can just stop and just say, "God, wow." I mean, what are those wow moments? Whether it's God's creation, whether it's the comfort of the Holy Spirit when we go through a storm, whether it's a friend that's there for us and cares for us, whether it's a Bible verse that you read that changed your life, whether it's trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior and knowing that you're going to heaven one day. Wow, I get to go to heaven, a real place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. They were astonished. They were amazed. What is something God has done in your life? I mean, I just in my mind, just thinking about times, especially in my early Christian walk, when I really wanted to follow God, and I was struggling with some of my friends and temptations and the things of this world, and God would just show up time and time again and say, I'm there, Tim, I'm there, Tim. Man, I've gone through dry seasons and just times I've read the Bible and didn't feel like I was hearing from God and gone through difficult times, but those times where I've been astonished by God. And we just pause and we just say, God, I don't deserve your salvation. I don't deserve the opportunity to pray to you, to hear from your word, to realize you've got a plan for my life, to no longer, as we sang a few minutes ago, have to worry about our sin and the shame, that he took our sin upon the cross and he gives us a robe of righteousness. Could you imagine? I remember growing up just picturing that we stand before God one day to give account of our life, and Jack Chick had these little comic books, and you know, it shows the portrays all the scenes of your life, and I'm like, man, this is going to be embarrassing. And I'm just glad that that's not going to take place. I don't have to stand for my sin. Jesus took all of my sin on the cross. And these disciples, they just pushed their boat out at first. And then Jesus said, I want you to go a little bit deeper. Yeah, I know you've gone through some stuff, but hey, just trust me, throw out your nets. I've got some blessings for you. Just obey me. Just do what I've called you to do. And they throw their nets out. And then this simple act of obedience. Notice how it concludes here. Verse 10, and so was also James and John. Those guys were amazed as well. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. Have you ever been afraid to step out and do what Jesus has called you to do? He said, don't be afraid. Fear not. From now on, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. As you follow me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be fishers of men. See all these fish? Could you imagine what they were thinking? They had all these fish that are pulling their boats ashore. Now they have to bring the fish in. They've got to clean the fish. They've got to take them to market. They've got to sell the fish. They've got to clean their nets. They need to put their boats away. They've got to pay their employees and whatever else they have to do. And they're thinking about all the responsibilities that they have. And Jesus said, but wait a minute. It's not about these fish. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start catching men. I want you to begin thinking, it's not just about my work. It's not just about these fish, but I want you to be my disciple. Look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What'd they do? They just took the next step. What's God calling you to do? So, I don't know where I'm going to be in 20 years. Just take the next step. That's what it means to be a disciple. Just follow him. His word is a lamp unto our feet. God, give me this great light that's going to show me everything I'm going to do, and then I'll decide if I'm going to go there. And God says, no, I'm just going to be a lamp. I'm just going to guide your next step. And if you take the next step, then I'll give you the next step, and then I'll give you the next step. All you have to do is worry about that next step. Where am I going, God? I've got it figured out. Just take that next step. That's what it means to be a disciple. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, take that first step. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins so you can know you're going to heaven. You say, well, I've done that. Hey, well, just take the next step. Get baptized. That's the first step of obedience. If you've done that, get connected to the church and join the church. Man, I've done that. Well, am I faithful in attendance? Yes, I'm doing that. Great. But I tell you, man, my work schedule, my kids' schedule, my sports schedule, all these things we have to do, there's no way I can make it on Wednesday. You know, Wednesday night, this is my attitude toward Wednesday. This is what it would be. And I know some people, there's no way you can make it, but there's some people that could make it. Wednesday night to me is like working out. There's never been a time where I've said, I feel like working out. You know. And the reality is, I don't have time to exercise, do you? None of us have time to exercise. And I've never felt like going into it, man, this is going to be great, this is going to be fun. But every time that I've taken the priority and done it, I say, I'm glad I did that this morning. Or, man, I'm glad I didn't do it till the end of the day, but I did that. I'm always glad that I did it. And the reality is, Wednesdays is very similar. None of us have time to go to church or to go to Bible study or spend time with people. But if you do it, you'll be glad you did. And the same thing is true in ministry. Begin serving God. Get connected with some leaders and let them work in your life. You say, man, I got so many things in my life. You know what? This is what we're looking for as a church. We're looking for transparent people that come just as they are, that are willing to be transformed. See, God loves you just right where you are, but He loves you too much to let you stay where you are, and He wants to change you. He wants your marriage to be better. He wants your finances to be better. He wants your health to be better. He wants your attitude to be better. He wants your spiritual growth to be better. He wants to change you and work in your life. And wherever you are, maybe you are a key leader of this church, He wants you to take the next step too. They forsook all and followed Him. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Friend, have you come to that point where you've asked Jesus to be your Savior? Peter said, "Depart, for I am sinful." The reality is, Jesus didn't want to depart. I can just see Him picking up Peter and saying, "Hey, I've got a plan for you." Maybe this week spiritually didn't go very well. Maybe last night things weren't going so well spiritually. But the reality is, as we come to Jesus, He wants to clean us up. You don't get right to get saved. You get saved so He can make you right. He wants to work in your life. Call on Him. You've never trusted in Christ. You understand that you've failed God, that you've sinned against God, but you believe that Jesus died for you. You believe in the resurrection, that He came back to life. Friend, He is just waiting in heaven for us to call upon Him. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And right now, I ask Christ to come into my life. Forgive my sins. And take me to heaven when I die. Just as we continue praying, have you followed the Lord in baptism? We have a baptismal service today, right? When we conclude, we're going to go out to our chapel and see a glorious baptism, someone following the Lord in baptism. If you've not followed the Lord in baptism, we want to talk to you about that first step. Jesus said, "Fear not." How's your faithfulness in church attendance? Getting connected into a small group, sharing your faith. Maybe there's a particular ministry God's been speaking to you about, getting involved in the music ministry or the welcome ministry or helping with coffee or the nursery or the grounds, as someone shared earlier, or our children's ministry around here. Fear not. Just step out. Just take that next step. Or witnessing. Who's that person God's speaking to you about? Maybe they would say, just like was said to me. I've been wanting to have that conversation. Dear Father, Master, at your word, we take the next step today. We are yours. May we be astonished at what you've done for us and what you are doing for us. And as Pastor Steve began this morning, of what you are going to do. Help us to pause, and may we consider so we can count our blessings. Thank you for being who you are in spite of who we are. Thank you for not departing. And God, we fall before you in an act of surrender. May we be your disciples today. In Jesus' name.